You know, you look for that. And then you can throw in the waste of time because the kids have too much time. Not many of the kids in your churches have to get up and go milk the cow in the morning or bring in the hay or have to do anything. And then they say, well, I want to get a job. And I preach against working at Burger King and McDonald's because then they get a little money to pay for their sin and get with the wrong kids. You don't want that either. And so it's a tough world out there. You know, I'm into the sleeping for 18 hours a day and then eating for four, and then you only got two left to do bad stuff, okay? No, I'm kidding. But honestly, it's the world that these kids live in. They don't know what to do with their time. And we got to help them with that. Push piano lessons and guitar lessons and keep them busy. That is important too, okay? All right, any questions? Yes, sir.
Do you have this on tape, you session that you just gave?
I think they recorded today what I did here, and this is a little bit, I've applied it in much different ways, but just to the teenagers, yes, it's done a little bit differently, but you through the wild, I mean, what we did here today, I talked to one of the pastors here, they did record it, and I think they said it's going on sermonaudio.com, but also, if you contact the wild, you can get a CD of, it's called Radical Role Reversal. If we could change the roles of parents and kids, and you could raise your parents. And again, it's done for teens, and so there's a little different approach, but some of these issues are dealt with there.
This is tailor-made for us, and it would be great if we could get it.
Right. Who knows here? I know I'm wearing this because they're recording it. Dr. Barrett?
It's on the computer, so I guess we can do whatever. I'm thankfully ignorant while you're talking about it.
Right, or I do, like I said, she said when she hooked me up, this will probably go on sermonaudio.com, so you can probably pull it down from there, upload it there, okay? Someone else? Yes?
How would you suggest pastors help parents?
Well, the first thing is just communicating. Pull them inside, pull them in together, get talking about it, find out how many are frustrated with their kids and they don't know what's going on. Okay, if you have families and they say it's fine to have a Facebook account, okay? MySpace, preach against it. Say if they have to have it, then go to Facebook. And then start, just as a family, get together and talk with some of the moms and dads. Mom has to be one of their friends. So that way she can see every conversation that's going on in their profile. You can't hide it. When you have a friend, you can't hide it. Set up stipulations that they don't join all the groups. They don't crawl into what's called super pokes and all those kinds of things because although some of them are just jest and fun, there's some of them that are lewd and crude, okay? Any inappropriate, anything, talk to the kids about. And the teens, I was with two daughters, a pastor the other day, and they said they don't have a computer in their home, no internet, one cell phone for the whole family. And I'm not stupid. I said, okay, girls. Where do you have your account? They have two secret accounts through a friend. They do this. This is where they live, okay? And so you help your parents to face it head on. I'd say getting them together, talking about it, is probably the first thing. Taking these simple verses and let's just apply Philippians 4:8. If nothing else, Philippians 4:8. And the cell phone thing. Now, with your parents, you warn them. You know, the cell phone is a pretty little guy. And if they have internet connection, and they buy that, you have to buy it. Did you know they're so small they don't have the size to put any filtering or any blocks, even to the point of tracing? And they can take that and go and have pornography at the drop of a second. They can go to YouTube that quick, and you can't trace it, and you can't block it. Now, you can block it by insisting no internet access onto cell phones. And it's wise if they do text that you just limit it to, you know, 10 minutes or 10 texts or whatever. All those things can be done when you go to your Verizon store. And you can limit those things. On the computer, of course, you've got to force them to get a block on that thing. I encourage, there's besafe.com, safeyes.com. I met with these guys from Atlanta, high tech. These guys were number one in Consumer Reports and PC World and all that stuff. And they have a fine program. They really do. You can limit the amount of time kids are on it. They've got the accountability chasers where they can send an email to your wife or your pastor and every site you try to visit and all that kind of stuff. That's SafeEyes, SafeEyes.com. And these things, we just need to teach them how to block it, you know. You see, the high-tech world today has decreased that hurdle of shame that used to be with going to adult bookstores and sneaking around to find stuff. There's no hurdle. There's no shame. They're just walking at home. Hey, when is the number one time teenagers have struggled with this? Tell me. You tell me. Exactly. 3:30 to 5:30 in the afternoon. Because mom's not there. Dad's not there. So dad, mom, put a block on the computer so they can't go on. Deal with it, okay? And, you know, that's all I know to say. Again, we live in this world. Same thing you would do with the TV. You know, most families, I hope a lot of families have got a hold of this. They're not going to have HBO and all that kind of stuff on their TV and get the blocks there and the parental guardian thing. And just teaching to abstain from fleshly lust. That doesn't mean just stop. It means stay as far away from as you can. Because they do war against our soul. And the war will never end till we die. So we live in a warfare. Get ready to fight. Carry the trowel. Carry the sword. Get the gun in your hand. We live. We talk about the war of terrorism. There's another war going on for the hearts of our kids. And that's the world we live in. So teach our kids how to fight. Now, on the other side, get them into the Word. That's the bottom line. Kids that are in the Word are going to grow. Tell them, start in your church, let's at least read a proverb a day that goes along with the day of the month. Just get them into the Word. And as God begins convicting their hearts, you know, that's why I spend so much time on the 6-week Bible studies. And I get hundreds of emails, kids thanking me that they can understand it a little bit more and helping them. Do whatever you can to help your kids know what the Word of God is saying. And get them into the Word. That's so important. Another question. I know there's probably more that can be said there. Yes?
What positive response do you see from teens as you deal with these things?
Oh, you know, I'm glad you asked that question because I know this is kind of dark, like, oh no, what are we going to do? I can put it in a 14-year-old kid. He comes in, plops down, one of these little guys, you know, he's got hair down to his shoulders, been to camp a couple years in a row. He came to me as a 7th grader. He says, Rand, I'm addicted to porn. Can you help me? 7th grader, 12 years old. So I gave him the Lest You Fall book, encouraged him, gave him some help, how to get accountability, et cetera, et cetera. He comes in this year, plops down. I said, how you doing, buddy? He said, not one time in an entire year did I touch the stuff. And I tell you what, we can get victory because even the kids are getting sick of it. I did a message just to girls, not last summer, summer before, on modesty. When I was asked to do it, I said, no way, I'm not touching that one, you know? And I did, and I was scared to death, you know, 600 women and girls and me, you know, it was tough. And we went after this, and I tell you what, the number of girls that are sick and tired of their friends dressing so immodestly, even kids are learning to hate this. So encourage the kids, you know, constantly encourage them to be in the Word. And the ones that are getting in the Word are going to grow. They are. And so we're seeing good things. You know, we are. And of course, you know, I work at the Wilds. We have basically Bible-believing, conservative, fundamental churches that come there. And even those kids struggle, but there's a lot of them. I'll ask this question. How many of you got moms and dads, probably like Amber and I, and you got filters on your computers, and you don't have a cell phone, but there's just one for the family, and you've never been into this because your mom and dad won't let you? I always see about 50% of the hands go up. So a lot of moms and dads are doing good out there, doing right, okay?
I still think it's amazing that you get so many thousands of kids to come to the Wilds in this day and time.
Oh, and still scream at them and tell them to get right with God, and they're being jerks if they're not. And I preach hard, and don't be afraid to preach hard to your folks. The kids love it. They do. I can't go anywhere. You ask Amber, we go places. They just gather around and want to talk and goof off. And I do. I don't give them any space when they complain about, well, mom and dad, you know. I said, I don't care. You stand before God, mom and dad's not going to be there. Come on, do right, you know. And there's a new counseling technique I just learned. It's only two words. Ready? Stop it! Yeah, but my pastor, stop it, you know. Just stop it. You know, God does say put off. And so there's part of that is true. And you want to help them with their hurting hearts and find out why they're doing what they're doing. But honestly, you just want to tell them, wake up and stop this. And you know what I'm thankful for? And most of you have heard my testimony in the past. I'm thankful for the past, the struggles I had growing up with mom leaving us and running off with our pastor and all that stuff. God has used that. And now just trying to dig in and find out where kids live today. That's all I'm trying to do. And what is the number one motivator for any sin for any teenager? Simple. Friends. Their friends mean everything to them. And they'll do anything to keep their friends. Okay? So what do we need to do? The number one enemy of peer pressure is parents' time. If those kids can come home from school, and like Amber would be always there, okay, give me the bits, tell me everything that happened that day. And they have mom and dad to talk to at home. Even if the kids are putting pressure on them, they at least think, oh, I can at least get home to mom and dad. And then we have a lot of homeschooling, which can be done well. If it's done well, and the parents aren't freaking out and getting all, you know, attitude themselves and driving their kids away. Because 24/7 with a mom and a daughter is not always the best thing. We're being honest, true. And you can get attitudes with each other. And so be very careful how you want to raise your kids and helping them with that. But, you know, God's doing good things. His word is still there, you know. And I love to see what God's doing. Yes?
And with smartphones, you know, PDA, cell phone combos, internet access is really more of a feature of those kind of phones that have to be. But are you aware of anything, filtering or accountability?
From the reading I have done, nothing. PDAs, yes, because they're integrated with the computer. And some of the PDAs, they have some simple blocks. But the cell phones and the smartphones, and I've just not heard it yet, if it is out there, they're not big enough to hold the memory. They don't have that capability. And by the way, I don't say that when I'm preaching to kids. I don't even say anything about cell phone and getting porn downloaded on the thing, you know? Because they might not know it yet, okay? And they probably do, but they might not, and so I don't want to put things into their heads. But the cell phone thing can be incredibly dangerous. It really can. You got to limit those things, you know? It's like anything in life. It's just something else. If it wasn't this, it would be something new. And we learn how to handle it in a godly way to keep balance, teach our kids what is biblical, what is non-biblical. And if it's a non-biblical issue, tell them this is not Bible, but this is what we're going to do, okay? And help them with that so they stay balanced. And you keep your Romans 12 disposition right, then your Romans 13 to 16 position. What do my leaders say? What does my Lord say? What do my lusts say? You do a lot better then. But that Romans 12, you better honor, prefer one another, and so forth. You keep those doors open with your kids and the people in your church. Don't do this my way or the highway stuff. You keep an open, open heart. Be approachable by your teens. You in the pulpit should say, teens, you got a question, you come. Or you grab a couple teens and say, we're going to Starbucks. I don't know what's going on. You got to tell me what a P2P is. And a blog. And I'm taking, you're going to teach me. I do this all the time. And I'll say, hey, Tim, what is probably one of the biggest problems? I already know, but they don't know I know. What is the biggest problem you think your friends face with their cell phone? And you start asking them questions. Let them verbalize it. Then you bring in the Word of God and say, wow, you know, that's verse, oh, think on these things. You think that's honorable? Honor thy father and mother. Doesn't even say honor thy Christian father and mother. Just says honor thy father and mother. That sounds pretty disrespectful to me. Dude, how can you listen to this type of music and still keep your heart close to the Lord? And you know. You take something simple as last year. What was the greatest phenomenon that hit TV? American Idol. And some of us say, well, we know somebody is on there, so therefore gave permission to keep up with it. To me, the worst thing about American Idol is getting our Christian families comfortable with rock music.
Right.
Oh, that's really bad. So we'll turn that off, and that is kind of bad, but it still does. It does. It gets our heart where we used to say, ah, no, get rid of that. No, it's not that big a deal because it's in the commercials. It's in the background of most of the TV shows. And so this desensitization takes place. But we're not talking about chewing gum and pulling a girl's hair in school anymore. In the last 4 weeks, I'm thinking of three girls in my office, snuck out their bedroom windows, played the music so their parents thought they were there, and went out and slept with boys. And now they're in my office weeping because after they do it, then they feel so guilty. Do I tell mom and dad? What do I do? How do I handle this? You know, this is where the kids are. And again, these are our church kids. We want to help them. And so we just got to be proactive on this thing. I still say this. solid expositional preaching and not being afraid when you get to a passage. If you preach through Philippians or 1 Peter, you can hit every issue we talked about today. Mm-hmm. It's there. And don't be afraid of it. And simply sit back and take a passage and think just a little bit. Okay, purity. What's attacking my people's purity today? Faith. What's attacking what they believe about God? Think. Write some questions down. That's your application. And drive your folks to the Word of God. That is the answer. And really, it's the only answer. You cut off the wicked, put off the wicked feed. You'd be renewed in the spirit of your mind. Get the Word of God in. And then you put on, you start practicing true holiness. Ephesians 4, okay? Or if you, how many of you have little kids in your home? I mean preschool. Anybody here? All right, same thing. This is how I deal with teens. Ephesians 4, 22 to 24 is how you deal with little kids. When they need a spanking, that's not on sermon audio, okay? When they need a spanking, what do? You ask three questions. What did you do? What should you have done? What are you going to do next time? Don't ask them why. Who started? What did you do? I stood on my sister's hair and I poured pickle juice in her mouth, okay? What should you have done? I should have been kind to my sister. What are you going to do next time? I'm going to be kind. I just taught Ephesians 4, 22, 3, and 4. But in a way that a 5 and a 6-year-old can understand. Teach obedience quickly, sweetly, and completely. Ephesians 6, 1, 6, 2, Colossians 3, 20. Why? Because like some of you, our kids are gone. They're grown. Our son's 27. Our daughter's 23. Do you know why I want? You know what I want them to do right now today? I want them to obey God quickly, sweetly, and completely. And I get like 18 years to teach them that. So we got to help our parents understand that they're preparing their kids for major warfare. Get them into the Word. Yes, time's up probably, okay? All right, thank you very, very much. And we'll be downstairs also if we can answer any questions. Thank you.
Thanks very much, Rand. You've given us a lot to think about and pray about as well today. Let's take about a 5-minute break. Okay, the restrooms are out there if you need to do that. And don't forget about the offering for our brother who's come today, please. And let's gather back in here as quickly as we can. We'll hear a devotional message from Dr. Barrett. So let's do that very quickly. Thank you.